Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by David Sanchez. David is on a mission to save lives and transform healthcare. A former ER nurse turned entrepreneur, David is the founder of Digitalis Medical, a leading healthcare marketing agency, and Miracle Recovery, a Christian-based addiction recovery program. Drawing from his frontline experience in nursing and his own journey building treatment centers, David helps practices grow with smart, patient-focused strategies. His team is taking clinics from zero to hundreds of calls per month without wasting dollars on bad marketing. He brings a rare mix of compassion, strategy, and results because he knows healthcare and he knows how to grow it. I've asked him to join us here today to share his story and insights on social entrepreneurship. So, David, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor and pleasure to have you here. We've had a great couple of calls before this one. But before we get into this, I'd like to know more about your path to entrepreneurship. I mean, were your parents entrepreneurs? Is that kind of what?
Definitely
No?
not.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah.
I could tell you about that. My mom is actually, or she was, she's retired now, but she was a dental hygienist, so she cleaned people's teeth. She cleaned our teeth our whole childhood. And my dad worked in construction. He still works in construction now. He still works part-time, even though he's in his 70s. And he would come, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. He would come home every day at the end of the afternoon, just drenched in sweat. And he would lay down on the living room floor and pass out for a while while my mom was making dinner. That was my memory of him in the afternoon when he would come home from work, just because he was so exhausted and sweaty. And I saw that and I was like, you know what? I think I want to go into the medical field. And so that was my big lesson there. I learned you got to work hard, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in a non-air-conditioned building.
I say blood school is the sleep of a laboring man. Those are probably good naps. So,
Oh, yeah.
okay, so you decided to get into the medical field.
That's right. Yeah, I became a nurse. Shortly after I got married, I started going to nursing school. Got married at age 19. Now it's been 20 years later. We just had our 20th anniversary and
Congrats.
six kids later.
I love it.
So it's a great adventure, but I realized after my wife became pregnant with our first son, I realized, you know what? These diapers are a lot more expensive than I thought, and I'm gonna have bills to pay, man. I better figure something out. And when I was in high school, I had a dream of being a doctor or something, and I backed away from that. I was like, no, I don't want to go to school for 10 years, 12 years. I don't want to do that. Let's do something that there's a big demand. I don't have to go to school for a long time. I had a buddy from church who was a nurse. He was about 10 years older than me. He's like, hey, why don't you just check out nursing school at the community college? I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea what nurses did. I'd never been to a hospital or anything, but I just went to check it out, and it's like, oh, that does look interesting. Let's just try it. And it turned out I loved it. So I became a nurse, and I was working in the emergency room. So first I worked at like a psychiatric hospital. We were detoxing people and helping people with health, mental health issues. And eventually my first full-time job was at a big hospital in Phoenix, working for Banner Health. And I was working in the emergency department. And man, it's pretty intense when you see overdoses every day, or people coming and needing help every day for, wanting to detox from drugs and alcohol. And I wanted to help people. That was a big part of why I wanted to become a nurse. But I eventually got a job back where I live in Prescott, so 100 miles north of the Phoenix area. So it's a smaller town, more rural area, only about 200,000 people in the county. And lo and behold, the issues were the same. I saw just as many overdoses, just as many people with substance abuse issues asking for help. And we would always end up just giving them, if they didn't have money or if they didn't have the right insurance, we ended up just giving them a list of AA meetings or something. And I knew they'd be back. Or you get guys that are dying of a drug overdose. They come in completely not breathing, 19 years old with a needle in their arm. And it was so tragic. And I really felt like I needed to do something to make a difference. And so I felt like I needed to start a program. So that's what I ended up doing. My church helped me with that. My pastor got behind me and helped launch an addiction treatment program. And that's what I did. In 2014 is when we launched that. And that's how I got involved in business. It was out of the vision, really. It was not because I wanted to make money or because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't want to. It was more, I just saw the need. And so as I did that, I came to find out that marketing for addiction treatment centers, it's actually the most competitive specialty in healthcare. The only thing more competitive in the US, anyways, is in the legal industry. so lawyers. So it's extremely expensive. Pretty soon I was paying, I got a marketing team together, and pretty soon I was paying like 15 grand a month just for Google ads. We were paying over $100 a click just for people to be able to find us and, you know, to get help. And so I was forced to start learning marketing. But pretty soon the agency that I had hired to help us, it was just not working out. I couldn't see what they were doing. I didn't know any of the results that they were getting. Nothing was transparent at all. And then our agency rep, the final straw was when he showed up to a meeting totally high as a kite on heroin. And I could tell. I knew what I was looking at. And I was like, oh my gosh, this can't continue. This is not working. And I'd already been learning some stuff. But at that point I said, you know what? I need to start my own company. Just do marketing. I'll just split off this team, this marketing team that I already have. And then if even just a couple of companies, we work with them. And if we could help them, then that'll pay for the cost of my marketing team. And that way the treatment center doesn't have to pay for it. And learning how to do things right to make sure that people are getting the results that they need, it really pays off, because that's the help that I needed. Basically, I created the company that I wish I could have hired. And so that's how I ended up starting Digitalis as a marketing agency for healthcare and especially for substance abuse programs.
So how do you do things right? What does that mean? I mean, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you got to know what you're doing. You got to know what you're looking at. Measuring things correctly is half the battle. The analytics and the reporting part is huge. I mean, how do you know where your patients are coming from is the question. So setting up all the tracking correctly and learning how to, you know, okay, how much do you pay to get an average patient or client? Where are they coming from? Is it Facebook? Is it Google? Is it through SEO? Through social media. So measuring all that is huge. And then being able to track everything is really important too.
And nothing ever gives you the same metrics. I just showed my team that yesterday. Here's what Facebook ads says. Here's what Google Analytics says. Here's what this tool says. And they all have wildly different numbers. So it all matters. How much money is going out, how much money is coming in. Not all that matters, but all that you can trust. You know?
Because you can't see everything. There's no way you can see everything. It's just not possible. But if you take a step back and look at the bigger numbers, this is our budget. This is what's coming in. And Google Analytics actually has a really good section where you can see the customer journey, which is really helpful, because then you can see a lot of those are what they call cross network, meaning people typically have multiple touch points.
Yep.
So they see you on an ad, they see you on Facebook, on Google, and then they search you directly and go directly to your website. Oftentimes they have 2, 3, 7, 10 different touch points to make that decision.
It's not so linear anymore. It used to be you put an ad in a newspaper or magazine and they call the phone number and you send a kit and then they make an order, and it was a very linear process.
You just wait your 6 to 8 weeks for that order to come in. I remember doing that when I was a kid. Things are so different nowadays.
Instead of just having a control ad, you have a portfolio of control assets. Headlines, images, that sort of thing that you combine. Yeah. That's really, really, really important. What would you recommend to someone that's starting out or struggling? Like someone that's in your position and they're, or where you were, like, I don't even know if I can afford to do this, but I have to do it. And it's so expensive. I mean, you're talking about $100 a click. I was just telling someone back in the day, in the early days, you could get 10 cent clicks of like good clicks on Google AdWords with your target market. And in those days, when you're getting 10 cents clicks, you know, $100, $200, you have a ton of runway to test your offer, test your head. Now you're paying like $100 a click in some niches, $5 in a lot of others. It's tough. How do you, you know?
Yeah. That's a good question. Finding a growth hacker would be great. I mean, because they can work with tiny little budgets and they can test everything. But those guys are kind of hard to find, honestly. I think starting with somebody who at least knows your industry is really helpful. With a marketer or a marketing strategist that knows your industry, because they might know some ways that are inexpensive of reaching your ideal client in ways that you might not be aware of. There might be places, because the businesses that work really well regardless of marketing or regardless of advertising. Mm. I'm not even saying that advertising is necessary for every business. Mm. The best businesses don't need any, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of businesses do nowadays. That's the problem. And people are inundated with ads. So if you want to be effective, you got to go find somebody who knows what they're doing and at least ask them what you can do to get some strategy going.
Yeah, it's a catch-22.
They can test things cheaply.
I know Elon's kind of anti-advertising and Greg Glassman from CrossFit are anti-advertising, but also I think they'd still do advertising. They just do it differently. Like they have a different approach. They might
Yeah.
more like PR and branding for them. Like Elon's always done these giant press releases and done newsworthy things. And now he
And
bought
he's a
the
Twitter fiend,
platform.
man.
Well, now he bought the platform. Greg Glassman was vehemently anti-advertising, but their best, biggest growth was when they partnered with Reebok, ESPN, and they got massive media coverage. And since that went away, CrossFit, people have said, is CrossFit dead? Because
It's struggling.
it's dropped off in terms of its growth. So, I think it's the business graveyard is littered with world-class products and services that nobody knew about. So whether it's advertising
Yeah.
or PR or even word of mouth, you have to get known. That part is irrefutable, essentially. You got to get known, and you got to find a way to be well known and omnipresent, essentially. And it doesn't necessarily
That's
have to
right.
be paid ads. It doesn't have to be SEO, but whether it's a sandwich board and customers that rave about you,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
100%.
First principles, like Elon Musk says, that you got to focus on first principles. First of all, who is your target audience? Who is your ideal customer? And what are the best ways to get in front of that ideal customer? You boil it down to that. And then how do you measure whether it's working or not, continually improve? Those are like the three basics, really. Well,
And that's powerful. That measurement part, people take that for granted now. That used to be this little niche thing in the back office. You had to climb over the old boxes full of dust to get to the direct response marketing guys. But the internet is pure direct response marketing. In the old days, it used to be all ego and Madison Avenue type advertising. But this whole measurement coupon marketing was a direct response thing because now we can measure how many people redeem the coupon. That's huge.
What's nice nowadays is you can measure everything. That's the amazing thing about digital ads.
It's highly efficient, but it's less effective. So a pro tip is to take your digital marketing stuff when it works and take it offline.
Oh, yeah.
Put in a sales.
I got a letter last week, and of course, it was somebody trying to sell me something. I can't remember who now, but it got my attention. It got me to read it. It was somebody like trying to buy my house, I think, or something like that.
I remember some guy
Yeah.
sent me a postcard and it had no name on it. And I thought, this is such a great postcard. And I called the phone number to be like, bro, you don't have a name on there. And he's like, oh, really? Thanks for telling me that. By the way, and I was like,
That was a pitch.
hey, you did that on purpose. Yeah,
And then comes the pitch slap.
it tactfully, I guess. All right.
Yeah.
So those are great tips for people. So tell me, so what? You just said, oh, I'm going to learn marketing, and the pearly gates opened up, and money rained from the heavens, and you and your six kids, your wife were like, hey, it's raining money, let's have more kids. And you're like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. It was just smooth sailing and sunshine and rainbows.
Not exactly. Everything's a learning process, That's the thing about being an entrepreneur. So I started out by hiring a company to fulfill it for me. And then as I was learning, I was like, I can do this better. I just need to take this all in-house. I need to hire my own people and learn it myself. And so that's what I ended up doing. Yeah. So I varied between a team of like three, about eight people, depending on the scope of what everybody's doing. Also with a network of freelancers that I work with. And yeah, so keeping the team flexible has actually been huge for me. Having people help with skills that I'm not quite as good as they are. Like I have an ads manager and he just kicks butt. He is so good at advertising. And I'm good at advertising, but he's amazing at advertising. I have a content manager who writes all of our content. I'm good at content. He's amazing at content. Getting those type of people really helpful.
I love that. If you look at the word entrepreneur in a dictionary, the person who organizes a business or businesses taking on more risks to do it in hopes of profit. But what it doesn't say is someone who answers the phone, mops the floor, toilet, does the accounting,
That's right.
does the prospecting, does the advertising, writes the content, delivers the service. It doesn't say that. So it's inherently a team effort. I think that's a powerful takeaway. What's been one of the biggest challenges, though, that you've had to face and lessons that you've had to learn and overcome?
Well, one of the things I learned pretty well as an emergency room nurse was prioritization and time management. Those were huge. So that really helped me a lot. That gave me some basic skills. The problem is when you're working at home, you can't just walk out and go home, take a shower, and you're done. That's not how it works. So time management takes on a whole other factor when your kids want you to read a book to them, or you want to take your wife out on a date for lunch. And so having separation of family and personal space and time, you have to learn some sort of healthy boundaries to be able to get work done, but also at the same time with the family. And it's been great. It's just a learning curve.
I was actually wrote down juggling six kids a wife business. People that don't have kids, when you talk to time managers, I feel like they live on another planet. Like, you have no idea.
They think they're so busy. You
Your
know?
day you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna do that. Oh, I'm so busy today. And I did, but man, hats off. I saw something, it was like someone with, I'm gonna say six kids because you got six, but it was like someone with six kids, successful business and six pack abs is way more impressive than a single person with a six pack abs in a business. Because the whole time, man, like people just don't get it. They just don't get it. But yeah, so anyways, can you speak to that a little bit? Like, how do you
You want me to
juggle?
speak to having a six pack?
Well, I don't know. I'm
I'm
not.
keeping my shirt on, Daryl.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm not into you that way.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm not showing anything about. No, just kidding.
No, it's all good.
Anyway.
Juggling the kids and
Yeah.
peace be and boundaries, healthy boundaries and time
Yeah,
management,
man.
getting things done. How do you get things done?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is time blocking, just thinking about it, even if it takes 10 minutes or 15 minutes. To think about it and to write things down. Here's my planner. I love this planner I got actually from Office Max. It's a little leather binder. It's small. It's called Junior Size. And what's nice is you've got, okay, I got a notebook on the left area. On the right area, if you take the time to do it, this is a
Yeah.
blank one that's not filled out. But I love that so much. You've got the hours on there and you've got your priorities. So even if you just put two or three priorities and you just get those done, you're good. And then if you have other things like the checklist, like go to the bank, make a deposit, you know, whatever, that's fine. But what's nice is you can just block things out. If it's possible to block things out and put your phone on airplane mode, I've been doing that a lot lately for the times when you know that you can do that without destroying anything, put it on airplane mode. And they've actually done studies that say when your phone is not accessible, you actually have better focus.
Yes.
Newsflash. We all know that in theory, but we're all still glued to our phone. So if you literally put it in a different room on silent or off or airplane mode, then you have the ability to focus and actually get something done.
That's powerful.
It's
I
big.
always say not everything in the jungle kills you and eats you. Some things just try to feed on you as much as possible. And
The
so my
leeches.
phone, it doesn't vibrate, it doesn't beep, it doesn't ring. I don't get notification pop-ups. Because it's my tool to the world. It's not a
Yes.
portal for the world to interrupt my deep work and focus.
I like that. Yeah, I think the same way. Absolutely. That's one of the biggest things. So, first thing would be eliminate distractions and the times when you want to be doing focus work, and then blocking time and focusing on one thing at a time. If you think you're a multitasker, you are fooling yourself. I don't know who invented that term, but that term should not exist because the human brain does not have the ability to multitask. It just doesn't. Researchers have shown that we can't multitask. So, if you want to do something, then eliminate all the other things while you're doing that, and that'll really help you a lot.
And I think getting your life priorities right. I mean, you're a devout Christian, and I think that having your priorities right also helps you structure your
Yeah,
life.
I didn't mention that yet about so having a routine, a bedtime routine and a morning routine, that helps with the time blocking. If you have the same thing that you do at the same time, it really sets you up for success. So wake up. Go work out, even if it's just for 20, 30, 40 minutes. Go pray and read my Bible. I get up at 4, usually between 4 and 4:30. Go work out, take a shower, shave. Go do a Bible study with the guys at my program at 6. And that's when I eat my breakfast, my first breakfast, like a little snack. And then I go do morning a prayer meeting at the church, read my Bible with the guys at church, take my son to school, and then I'm back home and I'm at work by 9. So that's when I'm like starting my actual work day for the marketing business. So having some sort of routine, it primes your brain and all your brain hormones actually control like it's the serotonin and dopamine and even important ones like testosterone. They're released at this and even blood sugar, they release at the same times every day according to what you do the day before. And when we throw that off, that's a big part of why things like hangovers happen, why we feel so crappy if we're not taking care of ourselves with the same exact routine. They're going to sleep at the same time, getting up at the same time, doing the same activities triggers your body to make the chemicals to make your body function correctly the next day.
Yeah, I love
So
that.
routine is very critical.
Systems, processes, routine. I mean, they're mission critical for kids, they're mission critical for businesses. For people listening to this, if you're doing everything custom, it's tough because your business is never going to be separate from you. because everything's custom, everything's creative, everything is your genius. So that's it. You are the hamster in the wheel, and you're never going to get out of that. And if you're really in a mission to serve people, you're never going to fully be able to serve people because you need to standardize how to produce results and how to
I
do
like that.
things in order to be able to provide opportunities and scale and just make sure that you can deliver on your promises to the clients that you're making. So I love that you mentioned the bedtime and the morning routine. I think those are really critical. You set your day for success, you get your mind right. I do the same thing. I'm just up a little bit earlier because the time zone difference. You know, set your mind right, get to wake up your body. And that way, when you come, you're like prepared to take on the day. And the same with the kids and stuff and try to go to bed. I think that's really powerful. You know, it's very rare someone is, I always say, people ask, Daryl, how do you get up at 3:30 a.m.? And I go, you go to bed at 8. Like it's that simple. You don't go to bed at midnight. Like you can't get it. Yeah. You can't do it.
Going to bed early is the hardest thing for me. I mean, it
Yeah.
ends up being between 10 and 10:30 usually that I actually go to bed for me and my wife.
Yeah. I take melatonin. It's non-toxic, non-addictive. I don't always take it every night. Brian Johnson takes it every night. He's the guy that's
I
been
wouldn't.
dollars. But it's
I wouldn't
non-toxic.
recommend it because your brain makes it, and
Yeah.
your brain doesn't make as much when you take it every day.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. It's non-toxic, non-addictive, and it doesn't interfere with your body's natural production. There have been lots of studies on that.
I'd be interested to see that. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
interesting.
Because it's yeah. So it's a safe and it anyways. But for
It
me,
is safe. It is safe, yeah.
if it's nine,
It's
nine
better than
30,
taking a medication.
well, yeah, if it's 9, 9:30, I'm not asleep. It's a forcing function for me. Okay, I'm past my timelines. Time to pull the plug and get to sleep. Otherwise, you just start sacrificing your next day. If you don't get adequate sleep, this whole hustle culture thing, if you're shy on sleep, your immune system, your T cells drop by 50%. Truck drivers have to get a certain amount of rest. They're not allowed to drive. You know, they have to get 8 hours of rest legally to drive because otherwise it's the equivalent of driving under the influence of they're intoxicated. So
Yeah.
even people that are guiding their lives, day after stacking drunken decision on top of drunken decision, day after day, just stacking this thing. Because that used to be me. I went 3 years on, I thought I was getting 6 hours sleep a night, but I realized that the app was counting from when I turned the sleep thing on to when I hit the alarm and woke up in the morning. So
Oh, wow.
that was a 6 hour window, but I was actually
Okay.
getting 4.5 hours of sleep for 3 years.
Whoa,
And I don't
man.
even know how I did it at this point.
It's
And
exhausting.
totally exhausting. So, all right. So what are some of the habits for your business? You talked about kind of habits for structuring your life. What are some daily, weekly habits you think are mission critical for running and growing a successful business?
One of the biggest things that I do often is an 80-20 analysis, where I'll just sit and take some time. Typically, I like to do this on a Monday or a Friday, usually a Monday, where I'll sit and look at it. I'll turn my phone off and just sit and look and say, on a piece of literal piece of paper or a Google Doc, and say, okay, what are the 20% of things that are making the 80% greatest impact on the business? And it could be every different categories. So the four different main categories would be, revenue, so cash flow, operations, people. And so you're looking at those and you're saying, okay, what's helping me the most? And then what's wasting my time or energy or money? And so just looking at that objectively, you can't be completely objective, but taking a step back without trying to do something else at the same time or being distracted is really, really helpful. That helps me a lot. So that's one thing. Another thing that I like to do, because I do have a small, flexible team, we're all remote. What I have to do is touch base with each one of them pretty regularly. So this would be on like a personal level. I can't meet with them for lunch because they live in different states or even different countries. So what I like to do is meet with them and just hang out, even if it's just after a meeting or just have a brief, like a Zoom chat, like a Slack huddle, even if it's just like that, and just say, hey, how's it going? Touch base with them on a personal level, see if they need anything. I'd rather do multiple small interactions every month than to have a bunch of meetings, because meetings just waste everybody's time when they're involved, unless it's something that's really brief and critical. And obviously, again, getting something organized, that's fine. But a lot of meetings you really don't need.
That's true. I love
Yeah.
that. And the 80-20. So if people don't know, he's talking about Pareto's principle. This guy
Yeah.
Pareto was, I think, an economist, and he was analyzing, maybe it was Italy, the wealth breakdown of the country, and he realized that 20% of the population had 80% of the wealth. And then he was in his garden and realized that 20% of his tomato plants produced 80% of his harvest. And so this was the beginning of the Pareto principle, which is the 80-20 rule, that 20% of your efforts produce 80% of your results, and that of any project, 20% will take 80% of your time to get it done. You know, it's the inverse too. So that critical few, so to speak. So I love that. And you said the four are revenue, operations, people, and cash flow.
Yes.
Yeah, got it. I love that. And what do you think is going to happen? We're going through a lot geopolitically. The world's going through a lot economically. Technology's transforming things. What are you kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of as we kind of walk into this unknown future?
Business-wise? Well, I
Yeah.
think business-wise, I don't think a need for marketing or advertising is ever going to go away. So with that business, I mean, I'm not really concerned about that. I'm just want to be able to meet the needs of all my clients, really. That would be that, because I basically function as their marketing department for most of them. On the addiction recovery side, unfortunately, I don't think addiction is going away anytime soon either. So it's just making sure we can help people with whatever capacity they need help with. And then, like you mentioned, I'm a devout born again Christian, so I'm just trying to help people, even on a personal level. And so I'm involved with volunteering with my church and helping people, even day to day, out and about the grocery store or wherever. People need help. They're looking for answers in life. And so that's really where I want to be as far as having my finger on the pulse of the world. People need help. They got in their lives. And there's a big movement now, especially of people our age, especially millennials, people that are seeking to get back into church and to really want to know God and know more about Christianity in particular. And so I'm just being myself and trying to help people. That's really what I'm focusing on.
I
I
would
want to
say,
have the biggest impact I can possibly make.
and that's the way to do it. Love is incredibly powerful. Even if you're secretly a sinister person, if you're trying to build a long-term business and you want the highest ROI and fruits from your labor, you got to do business with love. You got to love on your customers, your staff, your vendors. You even have to love on your competitors if you're trying to be in things long term. It's just all the benefits in life come from compound interest, long term efforts, whether it's a relationship. I mean, how fulfilling would a life be of nonstop, never ending one night stands? My wife and I just celebrated our 9 year anniversary together. We have our anniversary, second year married next month. No, sorry,
Cool.
November. But I got so sick prior to, like, I don't know if it's not that why I was with her, but around with her, I was so sick of the dating. Like, hi, I am. How are you? What are you like? It was just so shallow, and you just stuck in this shallow existence of never really getting into any depth with anybody, and everything, even money, business, all that sort of stuff. The guy that started Panda, he's been selling Kung Pao chicken for 40 years. That was his secret. How'd you do it? Well, just stick with it for 40 years. That's
Wow.
where all the benefits come from. So I think there's a lot of merit in what you said there. What are some of the biggest mistakes you think you see people making when you work with clients, or even just as you have friends that have businesses and that? What do you think are the biggest kind of pitfalls that people fall into?
One of the biggest things is not respecting your own time. Man, I joined a business mastermind a few years ago, and they did a breakdown of if you look at all of your expenses in your business and all your revenue and remove all the employees or anybody that works for you, and you break down what all the work that's accomplished and give yourself an hourly wage based on that, actually figuring that out, like how many man hours are done, all that stuff. I found out that I was making like 8.15 an hour or something. And when I first did that, and I was like, what the heck? How can I be doing that? That's not right. I made way more as a nurse. I wasted my time doing this. And so it was like an existential quandary that I found myself in. I was like, I got to change things dramatically. And so from that, I figured, okay, well, what do my prices need to be? How much do I need to be charging? And then how can I package things in a way, going back to what you said earlier, productizing things and having a productized service, even though I'm a service business as a marketing agency. If you productize it where you have a package, even if there's different tiers, that way you don't have to create something new every time you're trying to help somebody. And that has saved so much hassle for me.
Standard service offering. It's a major breakthrough for a lot of people. I remember at my martial arts school, That's part of where I learned that because we're teaching martial arts. I realized one of the things that set me free was a rotational curriculum. So what that meant is that every lesson was a
Oh, cool.
standalone, and there was a fundamentals class, and then there was an advanced class, and then a competitive class.
Oh, that's cool.
And by having those three tiers in the martial arts school, it allowed me that I could certify students to teach. You are qualified to teach this piece of the curriculum,
Oh,
or
that's cool.
not the advanced curriculum, but the fundamental stuff. And you start figuring out how to get things off your plate and maintain quality control. And that's again, it's trying to level up everyone together.
Love that. And people appreciate that. They love growing and they love helping. They love helping other people.
Oh yeah.
Especially the best teachers are the ones that just learn that skill because they're really paying attention to the details a lot of times.
100%. And it's a learning experience for them. You learn when you teach. So, but doing that, you start creating a standard. So, I mean, we started creating champions. When we had that, because then we knew that everybody had all their T's crossed, their I's dotted, so to speak.
That's cool.
The book called The Checklist Manifesto. The joke is, if I didn't tell my employees, if the checklist didn't say turn off the lights when they before they left, I'm sure I'd drive by at night and I'd see the lights on. It's pilots use a checklist, surgeons have a checklist. Checklists work. It's a good reminder. You get distracted, something happened, your mind, something else. It could be good, could be bad. You're excited about whatever's going to happen. I'm going to this event tonight. And you get absent-minded. That checklist keeps you focused, and helps make sure you get everything done.
Yeah, I like that what you said, training people at like one thing at a time. That's one of the things that I implement too that I didn't mention yet is I try to find something to be able to train somebody on or delegate at least once a week. If you do it once a week, you're training over 50 things a year. Even if you have a small team, you're getting so many things off your plate and it's just slow and steady. You can't change everything in 1 week or 1 month, but if you do slow and steady and just put a little time into thinking about it, I'm meeting with an employee to teach him something about SEO later this afternoon after our staff meeting, teaching him some technical SEO stuff. And he just hasn't learned it yet. And I'm teaching him how to be a well-rounded marketer. And he appreciates that because he started out as a content strategist. So it's just one thing at a time, just building and building little by little.
I
I
wonder
like to
if
train
we're
that
having
way.
a return to a holistic view of things. It used to be you used to grow your people, and people would grow up through the company and be trained. And then we got into this era of just hiring outside the company and bringing people in a bit of a cluster that way. And now it's going back to having to grow people again. I
I'm
wonder.
like a hybrid. I like for certain people, a certain skill level for specific types of skills. I don't think I would want to afford to pay somebody full time to be my ads manager, but I have a freelancer who does it who's phenomenal. But at the same time, my content manager, it makes more sense to have him as a full time guy because there's so many other little tasks that he can do at the same time. So I kind of blend it. I've tried so many different ways of doing it, but either way, you have to have highly skilled people. Or people that are just really, really smart and learn fast and follow directions with a good attitude. Like that's
Are there,
ultimate.
I mean, you kind of said it. Are there any other skills or behaviors that you think are important for staff to improve or develop? You said some there that they can learn
Yeah,
fast.
the top things for me absolutely is did they pay enough attention to detail that they can follow specific instructions? So even if we're hiring somebody, I put that inside, like instructions inside the email. And if they can't follow that to respond with a specific word, almost like a code word, you know. If they can't do that, then they're probably going to be missing some critical things that our clients need. Attention to detail, being smart and able to learn fast. I put those in the same bucket. And then those are the top ones really. Those top three.
I like that. I like that. So, what I guess the next thing is, what is your 80-20 then? In terms of now that you've learned about your effective hourly rate, and you've thought about these things. For you, what's your 80-20 to focus on, generally speaking?
Like where am I at right now, like with my business?
What's your
Like what am
focus
I
still?
looking at? Yeah, what I'm looking at now would be what type of leads do we want to generate? What type of clients do we want to get? So it's more focused on the sales side and the customer service side. Is our pricing, what pricing should we be at for it to be high enough for people to value our work? But it has to be low enough that they're not going to say, I'll just do this for a couple months and then drop them. And it needs to be loyalty as well for the long-term commitment and relationship. So it's getting that balance right of what we're providing and the value that they feel that they're getting out of it, really.
Love that. And how do you feel AI is going to impact the industry?
AI has definitely affected marketing a lot, especially with content, but the quality is definitely not there as far as automatically doing the work. It's great for ideas, proofreading, and stuff like that. We're all familiar with different apps that can help with some areas, but people's brains have to be behind things or else we don't have creativity, to be honest.
I love that. So you think that tools are going to continue to develop, but we're always going to need humans just to.
Save us time, which
Yeah.
is good.
Yeah, I love that. David, this has been such a great interview. I've got like a couple pages of notes. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
I don't think so. I think the biggest thing is just to keep learning, keep growing. Don't get satisfied with where you're at because you should always be pushing and striving. You never know when over time, like you said, over just doing the same thing over time and continuing to improve. If you just improve 1% per day, that's over 300% every year.
I love
And so
that.
the biggest thing, if you're wanting to be effective in business, you could be just one small adjustment can change everything in your business. So don't stop improving.
And actually, I actually do have another follow-up question you just reminded me of, I forgot to ask, was in business, you constantly have to adjust and learn and grow and develop and change your own behavior. You work in addictions, which is where people are fighting behaviors that are holding them back. And I wanted to actually ask your insights. Not that it, for someone, how would that apply to a business owner that maybe is trapped in patterns that are preventing their business from reaching that next level? How do you adjust your behavior? You know what I mean? To adopt the behavior you know you should be doing, but you're not doing.
The human brain is very complex. There's a book called Switch On Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she's a brain researcher, brain scientist, and she has an amazing formula in that book. Basically, she helps people that go from having a stroke and being paralyzed on half of their body to walking again, running again. It's amazing the work that she does. But one of the biggest things is identifying toxic thoughts. And a lot of these things are subconscious for us. We've all got, at some level, different areas where it could be rejection. Could be pride, could be fear, it could be self-defeating behaviors, but identifying those things and as soon as those thoughts come and rejecting them and replacing them with a healthy thought is the biggest part of that book that it taught me. And I have the guys in my program read that because it's so important to realize that just because you think something, that's not who you are. It's a thought in your head that you can literally change by replacing that unhealthy thought with a healthy thought, and you can change your life that way.
Yeah, I believe that. I actually taught my daughter that recently. I've done it a couple of times. It came from the Gateway Program, which is the godfather of transcendental meditation. The whole binaural beats, isochronic tones, you listen to these tones and it'll help you train your brain waves. So this guy, Robert Monroe from the Monroe Institute, is a godfather of that. And he has these tapes, these programs, which became popular around COVID because some CIA papers on research that they were sending people to do his program were declassified. But in it, he talks about essentially having like a box that you put your thoughts and everything into. And I think that's a really powerful way. In fact, I do that. I do one where it's like I peel off my skin, like a zipper, like it's a movie and like I'm an alien underneath. And then I take it off and then it's just my soul glowing light. And my skin is actually almost like if you've got a case for something. My skin is actually the case for the universe and it wraps into it. And like, when you ever pick up dog poop type thing, you put your hand in the bag and then fold it over. So the whole universe goes into this thing and it's actually like a chest. And in it, it gets cleaned and purified and with a little vacuum attachment that if anything sneaks out, it sucks it in. So nothing escapes. And then you can turn it into whatever you want. You can clean it and squish it, whatever. And then poof, I teach my daughter that if she has scary thoughts, to put them in a box, to fold the universe into a box. And put them in the box and then squish it and beat it up. And then, like a magician, when they poof, it's flowers all of a sudden, or they pull a rabbit out of a hat to turn it into something better. And so, I think that's real. Whether you believe in the power of prayer, there's a guy that wrote a book called Every Man a Winner, which was a precursor to Think and Grow Rich. It's from like the 18 something, it's super old, or 1903. But then he says there's a vegetable kind of substance of the ether and that your thoughts can affect and impact this. And so everything begins with thought. And so by
That's right.
identifying those toxic thoughts and addressing them and controlling your mind, I agree. I agree. That's a really powerful one. You're never going to be running a marathon and your brain's going to give up and your body's going to carry you across the finish line. It just never happens. So I think that's a great message for people. Control your mind, focus on what you want, and start there. David, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an honor and a pleasure. If people have questions, if they want to follow up, if they want your insights on how they can improve their marketing, what are some of the best ways for them to get in touch?
LinkedIn really is the best way to reach me.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's David Sanchez, RN. Be happy to meet you guys, connect with you, meet for Zoom.
Yeah, okay. So look him up on LinkedIn, David, DAVID, Sanchez, SANCHEZRN. You know you've got him if he's in Prescott Valley, Arizona, and you see Digitalis Medical on his profile. So David, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.